This morning we have with us, first off, Senator John Braun from the state legislature. He is the Republican leader in the state legislature at this time. And he represents the 20th Legislative District. Maybe he'll tell you about where that is. And he also did some work on the Senate Budget Committee in 2017 with compromise and capabilities to get the budget through the process for what was at the time education reform. Are you there, John?
I am, Charlie. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Just a little bit about you. There's you're from the 20th district, and where's that exactly?
Yeah, so the 20th district is down in southwest Washington. It goes from kind of sort of just south of Olympia to just north of Vancouver, and basically from I-5 roughly then east out to the Cascades to White Pass. Big rural district in southwest Washington.
Cool. So how long have you served as a leader of the Republicans?
So I've been the leader of the Senate Republican Caucus since late 2020, so just over 2 years now. We have a great team here. We'd of course like to have a little bigger team, but we have a lot of good folks in the caucus working hard to protect the interests of people around the state of Washington.
All right. So I wanted to get you on to get some detail about some of the things that are happening in Olympia, and honestly, some detail about some things I didn't get or understand. And kind of the first thing that I'm thinking about is what's going on with this Bill 1589 that's passed over to the Senate, and that is the one that bans natural gas. At the June 30th, or does it ban natural gas? The only thing that concerned me about this one, well, there were a lot of things, but the one thing that concerned me is they're kind of lowering the supply in the state, and that always will mean probably that the price is going to go up. So can you clarify what that one is all about for us?
Sure. And there's a lot to this bill, and I'll kind of hit the highlights. It doesn't, ban as in turn off all natural gas right away. What it does ban any right away is any new hookup. So even if you're in the middle of building a new house where you plan to have a gas stove or a gas heater, you wouldn't be able to hook up if you don't have it done before the deadline if this bill passes. And then over time, what it would do is it provides a structure for Puget Sound Energy to basically write off their assets more quickly over time to reduce supply of gas over time. And you're exactly right. What this will do is put more cost pressure on ratepayers. It will put more for two reasons. One, in many cases, natural gas is more efficient and cheaper, and nobody have to go to electric, which will cost more. You got to put in a heat pump when you build a house versus natural gas heating. And two, the whole supply system gets smaller and smaller, which means fewer and fewer customers bear the load of the fixed costs, which means rates go up. So this is a bad bill. I will tell you, this bill is happening because Puget Sound Energy is looking at the current law, the cap and trade system that was put into place by the Senate Democrats a few years ago, 2 years ago actually, and saying, "Hey, we have to respond to this law, and this is one way to respond to it." And really, that law, underlying law, is what's going to drive up costs for everybody, and is today in gasoline over the long term if it's allowed to continue to stand.
Right. I've got Todd Myers on in the second half of my show. We're going to talk a little bit about that particular one.
Great.
So let me get this right, though. On this particular bill, you said something. It's related to carbon. Why exactly are we doing this to one of the forms of our energy sources?
Well, I would tell you, my opinion is that this is sort of ideological. There's this thinking we have to get rid of all forms of carbon energy, and I think it's misguided. If there's few things cleaner than natural gas, whether you use it for your stove or heat or whatever. And for years, we've push towards natural gas as a cleaner alternative. In fact, right. In Europe, they still consider natural gas a green energy. But the environmental ideologues who will stop at nothing and aren't concerned about the cost of living here in Washington and the impact they have on working families, they just keep pushing for more and more. So it's not really doing much from my perspective environmentally, but it's part of their push to in a very ideological direction.
Defossilize fuels, yeah. As it were.
That's right, and without any differentiation between different ways of doing that and different priorities, and I think most importantly, the enormous cost it places on Washingtonian. We already live in a time in a state that's very expensive, especially if you're close to the poverty level, close to the point where you can just barely pay your rent or your mortgage and buy food for your family. It's things like this that drive that cost up just a little bit more, either run you out of the state or run you out of your home. It's wrong.
Right. I mean, not too long ago, really, gas, if you had access to get gas to your house, that was a plus in the value of your house. So
that's right. I'd say, for normal people, it still is.
Right.
And what this is going to upset that whole apple cart for very, very little environmental benefit. That's the frustrating part. We're making it expensive. We're not choosing, nobody is opposed to cleaner air and cleaner water, but we're choosing the most expensive, least effective ways to get there. And we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. So the next kind of subject I have here on my list that I was a little confused about what happened and how the votes occurred, and that gets into a little bit how the Senate and the House work. Hopefully you can explain some of that. And that's the pursuit bill. And I know we have a local, local edge to that story is Democrat Alicia Rule is part of some of the publicity I've heard about introducing this pursuit bill to kind of fix what the Democrats did a couple of years ago. Can you get into that for us a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, this is, as we talk about, restoring public safety around our state, this is one of the key areas that we get back to where law enforcement officers can pursue in their vehicles, they call it vehicular pursuit, criminals based on what used to be the standard, which is reasonable suspicion they could pursue. Of course, there were other rules that made sure they kept themselves and the community safe. But that was, and we did. What happened is the Democratic majority in 2021 raised that standard to probable cause, so a higher standard before you can pursue. And the net of that is what you've seen around the state, where law enforcement says, "Hey, look under the law, we can't pursue if that person, whether they commit a violent crime or they walk out of the grocery store with a bunch of stuff they didn't pay for." Yeah. And drive away, law enforcement doesn't, unless they physically saw them do it, they don't reach that probable cause level of suspicion, and they can't pursue them. So people drive away. And we've been working on this the entire session, and I think to her credit, Representative Rule has said, "Hey, we made a mistake 2 years ago," and from inside the Democratic caucus has pushed back. She's taken a lot of heat from folks in her caucus, but she's stood firm, and I credit her with that. In the end, how it played out, the expectation was for a controversial bill like this. There's a few of them out there, and this one was everyone thought was going to come over from the House to the Senate for consideration. In the end, the Speaker of the House, based on folks in her caucus pushing back, she ultimately refused to bring the bill up for consideration on the floor of the House last week. And it looked like the bill was dead, that we were not going to solve this hugely important issue in this session.
With us today, we have Senator John Braun, and he is in the midst. It's going to go fast, so we're going to get right to it. He's in the midst of explaining the legislative process of the pursuit law and trying to get that something passed, and that we got to the point to where the House would not bring it to the floor, and we were kind of over in the Senate. Senator, can you take it from there?
You bet, Charlie. So, as I was saying, we wouldn't come out of the House. To their credit, some members of the Senate Democratic caucus, about half the caucus, pushed forward and demanded that the bill in the Senate be pulled directly out of committee and brought to the Senate floor. Now, that's never happened my time in the legislature, 11 years, I've never seen that happen. So that's a big move. And we heard, we basically debated the bill on the floor of the Senate and ultimately passed it out. Now, when you talk about the bill, it's a very important thing that they did that they kept the bill forward and they kept it alive for consideration for the rest of the session. Otherwise, by the rules of the Senate and the House, those bills would have died and we would have not had a chance to solve this important problem this session. So it's good that they did that. That said, the bill is not everything I think we need in the state of Washington. We deserve. We're going to solve this lawlessness we see on the streets across Washington. What it did is it said, okay, now you can use reasonable suspicion in cases of violence against people. And there's a lot to that, but think of it that way. That's a good thing, certainly a good thing, an important step in the right direction, but it's not nearly enough to solve the problem. And, it's good that now you can pursue on reasonable suspicion if you suspect murder, assault, domestic violence.
What about car theft?
Nope, that's the challenge. These are important things, but they don't go nearly far enough, and that's not the cause. Most of those crimes don't result in vehicular pursuit is the reality. But what you need to do is be able to pursue in the case of reckless driving, like in the case of the tragic accident 2 weeks ago in Yakima where the fellow was driving at high speeds down the wrong way of the freeway and they couldn't pursue. You need to be able to pursue in those cases. You need to be able to pursue in the case of retail theft and pursue in the cases of auto theft. These are the things that are causing a lawlessness in our streets. And so far, the Democrats, even the ones that stood up to make sure the bill stayed alive, were not willing to support that. We need to continue. But the status is this. We got a bill. It's an insufficient bill, but it's alive. It's in the House. It's being considered. I am hopeful that we'll get back to a bill closer to what Representative Rule introduced at the beginning of session. I think that that's still possible, and that's what we're pushing for. And if we do that, we'll have the sort of law that really gets after the trouble we have around the country, around the state, rather, and really hopefully push back on this crime wave we've experienced in the last 2 years.
So right now it's kind of a watered-down version.
That's right.
Of how it used to be. So how is the non-watered-down version compare with pre-2021 laws?
The bill originally proposed by Representative Rule in the House and Senator Lovick in the Senate is different from pre-2020 Rule. It adds some safeguards to make sure, and this gets after the whole, what they say is the whole reason for the bill in the first place, is let's keep our communities, our innocent bystanders safe when there is a high-speed pursuit. Nobody disagrees with that. Right. We just think, certainly my side of the aisle, my caucus, thinks we should absolutely do that, but we should trust our law enforcement officers to make good decisions in the field to keep people safe. Where the other side has thought, and they're starting to come around, some of them, that we should restrict it from the legislature. I think that's enormously harmful to try to control things of this nature from so far away via statute. It's just bad. So, a short way of saying is the bill is originally reduced. It gets back closer. It gets us back to reasonable standard in almost all cases. Adds some safeguards to make sure there is proper oversight when you do high-speed pursuits.
What you mentioned is something that I think I'm beginning to see, and I think if I'm beginning to see it, a lot of other people are, and that's that this legislative body totally is more of take away the individual's capability to make any decision, take away any organizations under the legislature, and pretty much legislate everything that we do from a top-down situation. How do you see this session?
No, I think your sense is exactly right, that there's this you could call it elitism, that we know better than you do, but it's this idea that somehow we can choose more wisely than folks right there at the point of the decision. And that's just fundamentally wrong. Even if we were perfect, and we are by no means perfect, you can't distill all the items in human life down to legislation. It just doesn't work. It's too rigid. It doesn't give us the flexibility to do the right things in our community, to do the right things for our family, to do the right things for our state. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's also this, what I sometimes call luxury beliefs. We have the majority will sometimes, you know, they have this ideological notion that this thing is right, whether it's, you know, talk about environmental issues or
right.
You know, or other issues, and they're luxury because they don't feel the effects
right.
themselves. They don't understand what it does to real, regular Washingtonians around the state when they weigh in ways like this, and therefore they're just it's easy for them to vote in favor of these things because they don't personally understand the consequences to people around the state.
Right. We've got just a really short time left for probably a pretty complicated question, but we'll get started on it. There was another issue in the legislature that took property taxes and said instead of 1% increase annually, it can be 3% for all taxing districts or for some taxing districts. I don't know. Can you explain that a little bit in a couple of minutes and what it means at the end of the day for taxpayers?
I'll start with the end of the day. What it means for taxpayers is the bill, your property tax bill is going to go up if this passes. Now, I think we can hold it, but the Democrat majorities are pushing hard on this. And all it means is instead of a 1% increase, which was put into place, as you know, by a vote of the people, it can be up to 3%. And this is pushed for by counties and cities that are concerned about having enough money to deliver services. The reality is at the state level, at the county level, at the city level, our budgets have grown by unprecedented amounts over the last decade. This is not a lack of money issue. It's how we're spending the money.
Right.
And they want to fix their problem by taxing people more. And I just think it's fundamentally wrong. It's one more thing that's going to make Washington unaffordable for regular Washingtonians. It's going to affect your mortgage. Or it's going to affect your tax payments. It's going to affect your rent payments. It's going to affect everybody in ways that are going to make it difficult to survive here in the state of Washington.
And just one more short thing, and it's a little bit about where do we stand in surplus deficit spending in the budgetary process?
We are actually, despite all the challenges we have economically right now, our operating budget is large and robust and really not under a lot of pressure. If we just would spend wisely, we have plenty of room and we could my worry right now is two. One, you know, we're on the precipice of a downturn in revenue, I think, and we have to make sure we don't overspend now so we're prepared for next year and the year beyond. And we have to make sure we don't spend our reserves. This is something that the current majority has had trouble with in recent years where they've spent too much. And so we're watching it pretty closely. I'm not involved in those discussions, but I think that's the key thing is are we keeping plenty of money in the bank for an economic downturn that I think is almost surely in front of us.
But at the same time, we don't need another tax increase, probably.
We do not need another tax. There's no reason in the current environment with the current budget numbers that we need a tax increase. We can deliver everything our voters and citizens around the state need and expect with the money we are getting. In fact, I would say just the opposite. If anything, we could afford, if we were determined to and the majority was willing, to send some tax money back. But so far, they have not been willing.
Okay. Well, we actually have to end this. I'm sorry. I had a lot more to discuss as well, and I hope that the audience is gotten a little bit educated by your efforts this morning, Senator, and I can't say how much I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us a peek of what's going on in Olympia.
Well, thanks for having me on. Call anytime.
You betcha.